You know, every day in our lives, every single moment in our lives, we are faced with choices, right? Simple choices like, when do I get up in the morning? Simple choices like, okay, what do I wear today? What am I going to eat for breakfast? Those are, you know, choices. We still have choices we have to make. But sometimes the choices are more difficult, and sometimes the choices are more complex. Where should I go to fellowship and worship? What profession should I have? What, you know, who should I marry? Where should I live? Should I have children? Should I not? All these questions, big life events. When should I retire? All these things. We have these that come up every single day. And as you know, you have to make these choices. Sometimes we make really good choices. Sometimes we don't make such good choices, and we have consequences from those not so good choices. But the Torah portion today is all about choices. If we look at the Ki Tavo and what it is for us. So when we're young, the decisions, the choices are made for us, right? When you're a little bitty kid, your parents make all the choices for you, or the family makes all the choices for you. People in authority over you make choices for you. And those choices can affect you the rest of your life, certainly. But we don't, when we're young, we don't have that ability to make those choices. But when we reach that age of accountability, when we reach that age of accountability, we start to make our own choices in life. And those choices have implications and consequences. So as Israel was standing at the precipice of the Holy Land, as they were ready to finally go in, they were faced with a lot of choices in front of them. The Torah portion speaks about that. We're going to be talking about that. You and I, as we're faced with our lives as believers, as we're faced with challenges in the workforce, challenges because of the, you know, COVID stuff, challenges because of family, challenges because of this and that and the other, we have choices that we still have to make. May we make wise and godly choices. And this portion is all about that. So let's begin. Deuteronomy chapter 26. Turn with me there. We'll start with verses 16 and 17 of Deuteronomy 26, Ki Tavo, most of the Torah portion. You know, it's the theme of choices, good choices, bad choices. Deuteronomy 26, 16, this day the Lord your God commands you to do these statutes and rules. You shall therefore be careful to do them with all your heart and with all your soul. You have declared today that the Lord is your God, and that you will walk in his ways and keep his statutes and his commandments and his rules and will obey his voice. So this is what Israel was facing. This is what God said through Moses as they're standing there about to go in the promised land. Now, this isn't something new that God was just telling them that day. Oh, I got some new news for you. You know, something new for you to respond to. No, they knew about this. They were hearing this for 40 years in the wilderness, right? Two generations worth. They were hearing this, and here's the thing. They made their decision to follow God, not that day when God said, you know, choose this day. They made their decision 40 years ago as a nation. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 19, verses 7 and 8. The nation of Israel had already decided as a people, as a tribal community, and as a unified nation to follow God unequivocally with one voice. Can you imagine? 2 million people plus with one voice deciding something. I have a family of a lot less than 2 million people, and we can't even decide on what to have for dinner some nights. Okay? I'm just telling you. To get 2 million plus people to decide on anything is a miracle in and of itself. And it was a miracle, and they did it as one unified voice. Exodus 19, 7 and 8. So Moses came and called the elders of the people and set before them all these words that the Lord had commanded them, the Torah. Verse 8, all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses reported the words of the people to the Lord. You know, we go through life and many times we're choosing things, we're making decisions based on how we feel, right? We maybe don't like to admit it, but a lot of times we base our decisions in life. We base the choices that we choose or the decisions we make about feelings. But choices should not be about feelings in our life. Choices should not be about feelings. Choices are decisions. You have to choose faith. You don't just feel like faith, you know? You have to choose to walk with God, just like you have to choose to get up out of bed every day. You have to choose to go out there in this crazy, crazy world. The choices are decisions that we have to make. And Israel made a decision, not based on feeling. It was a decision to follow God. And it wasn't a one-and-done decision. You know how, like, sometimes they say, well, just, you know, accept the Lord and that's it. You've got to continue to walk with God. You've got to make a choice every single day to keep walking, even when you don't feel like it. It's a daily decision. Now, Exodus 19, 7 and 8, we just read that. Now go back two verses to Exodus 19, 5 and 6. Before the people said that, this is what the Lord says. Verses 5 and 6 of Exodus 19. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel. Powerful, powerful verses there. But the key point here is, if you will indeed hear my voice, and if you will keep my covenant. Did you catch the word if there? We know what that word means, right? The word if you keep my covenant, if you continue to keep my commandments, if you continue to choose and follow after me. If implies that we're choosing God, or if implies we cannot choose God, right? We have that choice as well. That's the first point in today's message. God and his sovereignty. God and his sovereignty gives you and I free will. Now, this is a very misunderstood concept, and, you know, people love the fact that we have free will, and then people don't understand the fact that we have free will and are upset with God about that, and I'll get to that in a minute. Free will means we can choose. You can choose. I can choose. It's not imposed upon us. God didn't sit there and impose upon the people of Israel the Torah, okay? He said, will you do this? And they said, we will do it affirmatively. No one is making them do, no one made them do it, and no one can make us do it today. We have to choose to do this, and we have to choose not to do this, right? Just as a choice in our lives. I think you and I in our culture understand this, right? We're Americans. It's all about choice in America. A lot of other countries, I think we think in America that everybody in the world thinks like we do. And that is not the case. Why do I say that? Because while our country is not the most perfect country, right? There's problems in our country just like every other country. Our country was founded, America was founded on a bedrock of freedom, right? You get to choose. It's that rugged individualism. I'm going to go out there. I always think of like somebody with the stake, you know, from like the Tom Cruise movie. I'm running out there in Oklahoma somewhere and I'm staking it down and I'm going to take this. This is mine. Not that piece over there. This is mine, you know. So there's this choice that we have innately ingrained in our DNA as Americans. It's about choosing this, choosing that. We get to choose what to do with our life. We get to choose where to live. You know, a couple of generations ago, at least, my families settled in one part of America, as many of yours did, and didn't leave, right? I thought it was odd about 10 or 15 years ago when I was working and I was traveling from Florida to Michigan. And in Michigan, you know, Michigan is the Midwest and it's a little different than Florida. And like the people in the town that I was in Michigan, many of them had not left the county. Many of them had worked in the same factory that their fathers and grandfathers worked in. It's kind of really beautiful in a lot of ways, but that's a bygone era, okay? So many times, your family may have stayed in one location for years, and then the next generation, and then my generation, whatever, we're all over the place. You know, I don't know how many states I've lived in at this point. It's a couple, you know. You've probably lived in several states. You might have crisscrossed the country. But, you know, we get to choose where to live in this country. We get to choose whom to marry. There's not a whole lot of arranged marriages in this. In some cultures in America, there is. Some of the old school ethnic cultures. But in many ways, we don't have arranged marriages. It's kind of a foreign concept. So we understand the concept of choice. And that also goes for our relationship with God. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 11. God understood the concept. Israel understood the concept. There was choice involved. Deuteronomy 11:26. See, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. Now make no mistake, that was a choice, a blessing and a curse. 27, the blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and the curse, if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way that I am commanding you today, to go after other gods you have not known. Now God created us, but he did not create us to be robots. I like to say that all the time, and it's very, very true. God did not create us to be robots simply obeying him at every point. You know, as parents, when our kids are young, what do we want? We want our kids to almost act like robots somewhat, right? Just obey me, do with these things, because I know what's best, right? And our kids get older, and they make their own choices, and that's the normal way that things should go, right? Because they have to have the freedom to choose. You have to have the freedom to choose. I have to have the freedom to choose. It's free will. But God didn't create us to be robots. He provided free will, a choice to obey and follow him, or a choice to not. Now, when people struggle with God, when people struggle with the concept of believing in God, there's usually two questions they ask. Two questions. Now, you're going to come up to me. I know somebody's going to come up to me after, Rabbi, there's a third question. Okay, fine. These are the two questions I'm going to hit on, right? So there may be three. I don't know. Maybe four. Question number one. If God exists and he is a loving God, why is the world so messed up? That's question one. Has anybody ever said that? Have you ever had someone say that to you? Well, if God exists, why is there illness? Why is there diseases? Why are there wars and why are there pandemics? Okay? Why do bad things happen to good people? The answer is simple yet complex. The answer is because the world is full of sin. That's the reason. Not because God chooses to bring illness upon people or this and that and the other. We chose to break away from God in this world, Adam and Eve, the fall, all that stuff. We've talked about that. Because of sin, we have all of these things. Not because God did it, because of sin. Romans chapter 1, verses 28 to 31. Romans 1. This is interesting scriptures here. This is talking about mankind in general. Romans 1, 28. And since they, mankind, did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of ungodliness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. I think we caught everything in that, right? Did we miss anything in that list? This sounds like the world, doesn't it? I mean, you could pick out things and say, oh my gosh, this is the world today. There's a sin problem in the world. And this is the reason. It's because of man's heart and man choosing to fall away from God, to not follow God, that this is happening. So that's the first question, and that's the first answer. Now, here's the second one. If that's all the case, why doesn't God intervene? You've heard that one too, right? Well, why doesn't God just intervene? If he loves us so much, he sees all the suffering. Why doesn't God intervene? Why can't he just stop all the killings? Why can't he stop all the bad stuff? Why does he allow it to go on? And you know, there's kind of a picture of this. Psalm 53, verse 2. Go to Psalm 53, verse 2. You know, God, we always talk about how God is very near to you and I, and he is. But there is an element of God looking down and saying, you know, this is kind of a creation of your own, folks, mankind. Psalm 53, 2 says this: God looks down from heaven on the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. So instead of blaming God for all the problems, we should say, boy, can you imagine how long-suffering he is to look down at all of this stuff going on and still want a connection with us? It's amazing. Why doesn't God intervene? Because he gives us free choice to choose him or not to choose him. He wants humanity to turn to him. He wants you and I to turn to him without being forced to do it. Who wants a relationship with anybody if it's forced? I don't want that. Do you want that? We have those. They're called dysfunctional and abusive relationships in the world. We don't want that in our relationship with God. So he gave us free will. So as Israel was on the plains of Moab about to go in the promised land, God has all the tribes assemble, right? He has all the tribes assemble, and he puts them on two mountains. And you can read the Torah portion to get all this. Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal, right? You've heard of these two mountains before. They're actually really real. They're real mountains that exist in Israel. Mount Gerizim is actually within the town of Shechem. And Ebal is right outside. They're kind of together there. And they're in the Samaritan region of the Holy Land, the Promised Land. And they're actually about, I don't know how many miles north of Jerusalem, if that gives you kind of a visual of where these two mountains are. And God has them stand on the mountain, and he has, go to Deuteronomy 28:1. He has some of the tribes stand on Mount Gerizim, which, by the way, is a little bit lower of a mountain than Mount Ebal, by the way. But they're big mountains, right? You can see a lot. If you've ever been to Israel and stood on mountains and looked out, you can see far and wide. There's a place you can look out and you can see like Jordan and all these other countries from Israel. It's amazing. Mount Gerizim, some of them stood there, and they were to pronounce blessings for obedience on the people. Deuteronomy 28:1. And this is what they would pronounce. And if you faithfully obey the Lord your God, the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all of his commandments that I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. This was the plan for Israel. Now turn a few verses later, Deuteronomy 28:15. Then he has some of the tribes stand on Mount Ebal, okay, the other mountain, and he has them pronounce curses for disobedience to the people. Deuteronomy 28:15. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord your God or be careful to do all of his commandments and his statutes that I command you today, then all of these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Now, God was giving them fair warning ahead of time. He was telling them, there's going to be blessings if you follow me, but guess what? There's not going to be blessings if you don't follow me. People want to not follow God and still get blessings in their lives. Spiritually speaking, it's an impossibility, because God has said it's not going to happen that way. We have free choice, blessing or curse, obedience, disobedience. But the choices we make bring consequences. That's point number two. You and I are accountable for our choices and decisions. We have to be. It's our choice. So we are held accountable according to the standard that God gives, according to his word. We are held accountable. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. As followers of Yeshua, you and I have an accountability. We are accountable to God. We're accountable to each other too, by the way. But we're accountable to God. And we, the Bible tells us, we don't like to hear this sometimes, the Bible tells us that we're going to be judged by our choices and decisions. There will be consequences. We're to be judged on, guess what? Not only our actions, but our thought life as well. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Messiah, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Make no mistake about it. Every action has consequences. Every choice has consequences. Now, sometimes we find ourselves in this predicament in life, right? We find ourselves in a bind. We have an issue. We have a problem. And sometimes, this is the truth, it's not our fault. Somebody's done something to you. Somebody's done something to me. You and I did not deserve it at all in the scheme of things. We were going about our business. We were living a godly life. And then all of a sudden, we're thrown into a lion's den, right? We didn't decide to go into the lion's den. We didn't deserve to go into the lion's den. I didn't think I'd do anything lion's den, you know, worthy, but we go into a lion's den. Sometimes it's not our fault, and that's truth. That happens. Remember, this world is bound up by sin, and things don't operate as they should. The problem we have as believers when we're immature in a lot of ways is we think that the world should operate fairly. That hasn't how the world works, because the world is controlled and operates by sin, according to Scripture. You know, the lion is not lying down with the lamb here, right? You can go and watch any National Geographic or go to the zoo and you can see. The lion is not going to want to lie down with the lamb. Here on this earth, the lion eats the lamb, okay? Doesn't lie down with him. The lamb didn't do anything to deserve it. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Sometimes it's out of your control. Things are going to happen, and God has you go through fires. Fiery furnaces, lion's dens, trials, it happens. Happens to all of us. But sometimes we are responsible. Many times, I'll even use the word many. Many times we are responsible for the problems in our lives. We don't like to admit that, but we are. Sometimes it's directly because of the choices we've made that we find ourselves in these predicaments, right? Not all the time, but sometimes. Galatians 6, 7 through 9. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows in his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. That's an encouraging word for us. No matter what valley you're in, you will reap blessing from the Lord eventually. Could be in the next life, but hold fast to that hope, because that is the hope that we have. And that hope transcends this world. If you find yourself in a problem, a situation in life, it's always a good idea to take a look in the mirror. It's always a good idea to self-reflect. Because sometimes when we do that, we find that even though, you know, we're going off on this person, how could they do this to me? And then all of a sudden we self-reflect, look in the mirror a little bit, and we say, well, maybe I had a hand in that. Maybe I let myself get into that position. Maybe I did this and it triggered this. You know, there's always something we can learn, and we need to do this. Did I bring this upon myself? We live in a culture today, unfortunately, where there is a supreme, I'll even use the word supreme, lack of personal responsibility. Yeah. People don't take personal responsibility for their own actions. We just post something on social media. Oh, we just posted it. It just happened. There's consequences. You know, I just said that one thing. It was so innocent. There's consequences to that. We have to be careful. Are we sowing good fruit? There are consequences. Matthew 12, 36. Go there. I have two scriptures to share with you. One concerns actions and how we are accountable for our actions. But guess what? It goes even further. The second one concerns thoughts. Yeshua talked a lot about this. Remember the Sermon on the Mount when he talked about the Torah? He talked about don't murder somebody. That's the physical action. He also said don't murder somebody. I'm paraphrasing. Don't murder somebody in your heart. That's the thought life. We have to control and watch the thought life as well as the action life. Matthew 12, 36, 37. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Now go to the last verse in the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 12, 14. So we got what Matthew 12 is telling us. Similarly, Ecclesiastes 12, 14. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. Now that's pretty intense. Words, deeds. This is not written to scare you and I, because then we go home and we're like, you know, nervous wrecks. Like, oh, what am I going to do if I go outside and I say the wrong thing? We should stop, because that's fear, and fear is the opposite of faith. We need to relax. We are going to mess up. That's okay, because we have a sin problem still, but we need to understand God gives us grace, God gives us mercy, and God wants us to get back up. If we have to, maybe seek forgiveness from that person and move on with our life. So this shouldn't be to scare us, but it should be to make us think, to realize that there's accountability and there's consequences to our actions. Okay. I've been saying a lot in the messages, you know, try as we might, we're going to mess up. We're going to find ourselves in these situations. It should not stop us and freeze us from living our life, but it should make us think before we act, or before we think sometimes, to catch ourselves and say, do I really want to think that? Do I really want to do that? We can get ourselves in trouble saying the wrong thing, doing the wrong thing. And when we choose to walk away from God, in our minds, in our hearts, and with our actions, the result is not blessings. Guess what? The result is curses, like it's talked about in Deuteronomy 28. The fact is, there's much more written about the curses in Deuteronomy in Kitavo than about the blessings. There's many more negative commandments in the 613 than positive commandments. That's just the truth about it. But God wanted to make the warnings very clear about not following him. So what happened? And historically, Israel didn't always follow God. We know that. We've seen that. We've experienced that. History shows that. The result was obviously not good. Now, if you go to Jeremiah chapter 15, Jeremiah was prophesying. He was a prophet to the people of Judah, the southern kingdom, which, as we know, went into exile to Babylon because of sin. Assyria took Israel into Babylon, into exile, the northern 10 tribes, but Judah went to Babylon. And this was a really dark and bleak time for Israel. It was, we know from Scripture, because of their sin. Jeremiah had the unfortunate task of prophesying during this time when Judah was rejecting God. They were choosing to not follow God. And guess what? The curses were coming. They were taken out of the land. The punishments were there. All the punishments that Deuteronomy talked about. I want to read for two verses here. The first one is Jeremiah 15, verse 6. Now, this is after Israel had repeatedly and repeatedly and repeatedly sinned against God. They were sent to exile, taken out of the land of promise. This is what God says. So this is the context. You have rejected me, declares the Lord. You keep going backward. So I have stretched out my hand against you and destroyed you. I am weary of relenting. That's harsh. That's ouch, right? But it's not because he woke up one day and somebody spoke bad about a neighbor and he said, "Oh, you're out. That's it." God doesn't have a hair trigger temper. It was repeated sin against God and against people. And that's what caused this. But the amazing part is, if, there's that if word again, if Israel in exile, in with the curses upon them, if Israel chose God, if they turned back to God, he promised to redeem them. He promised to bring them back spiritually and physically. We know this. Jeremiah 15, 19, go there. Let's read what he says just a few verses later. After he says all that heart-wrenching, very bleak stuff in verse 6, in verse 19 he says this, "Therefore, says the Lord, thus says the Lord, if you return, I will restore you, and you shall stand before me. If you utter what is precious and not what is worthless, you shall be as my mouth." That's really connected with God. "But they shall turn to you, but you shall not turn to them." Now, the really, really, really cool thing here is, you know how we always talk about God is always working, even though you and I can't see it? You and I need to know God is working in your life right now, even though you don't believe it, or even though you don't feel it. The blessing, the blessing of being with God, the blessing of reaping those blessings in our life is around the corner. Now, again, don't mistake me. I'm not saying around the corner is like, you know, the pot of gold and all this wonderful stuff if you just follow God. Because we talked about there's sin problem in the world. But what I'm saying is God has already set it up for us to turn to him. And he's already got it set. He's not waiting saying, "Well, let's see if they turn to me and then I'll do this." You know, we operate like that sometimes with people that have hurt us. Imagine how God has been hurt by you and I. He's already prepared the restoration and the redemption. He's already prepared it. And he prepared it even when we were in Babylon doing all those horrible things as a people. And even though the world is totally not following him now, he has prepared a place. He has prepared redemption for us. Turn with me to Romans 5:8. This scripture says it all. It's a very short verse. But we need to know it. Because when we're sinning, when your family, your friends, your kids, your parents are not following God, there is hope. Because right around the corner, God says, "But God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, Messiah died for us." We didn't deserve it. God knew we didn't deserve it, but he already has it all in place. He has it all in place. And in order to receive that, we just got to reach out for it. We just have to accept it. Point number three in the message this morning. We are redeemed when we choose to be redeemed, right? When we choose Yeshua. That's the moment of redemption. It's already there for us. We have to just go and reach out to him. You don't have to go do any heavy lifting or hard work or, "Well, I'm not good enough this month, but if I try really hard and, you know, say all these prayers and repent of all these things," God's already got it. You just need to just take that one little step and he'll meet you. Okay, you got to go to God though. We have to choose him. We are redeemed when we choose Yeshua. Choices. That is awesome news because I certainly didn't deserve it. You didn't deserve it. But God reaches out his hand for us and all we have to do is accept it. Turn to Hosea chapter 6, verse 1. Last scripture of the day. Now, the thing about it is Hosea wrote to a people that was wayward. He wrote to a people that wasn't following God, and Hosea had it rough. He had to marry a prostitute, right? Many times the prophets had a very difficult life because God was using them as a mouthpiece. God was using them as an example, and he had to marry a prostitute to show how Israel had prostituted themselves against the Lord. This was the visual here. Hosea, with all of that stuff going on, God still says through the prophet Isaiah what he said to Israel, and we can take hold of it today, all of us, Jew and Gentile. Hosea 6, verse 1. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us that he may heal us. He has struck us down that he may bind us up. The choice is ours. We have a choice to reach out for the blessing today of knowing the God who created us, the God who formed the heavens and the earth in place. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter what's going on in your life, you and I have a choice today to reach out to Yeshua, to reach out for redemption. My prayer is that the veil drops off of our eyes, more and more of us, and I pray that people would be convicted to turn to accept the love of God, because it's right there for them. And you know what? It's right there for you and I. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you because in this month of Elul, people are searching. There's stirring going on. Boy, is there stirring going on in the world. There's a lot of, earthquakes, spiritually speaking. There's a lot of things going on, Lord God. And I really believe that a lot of people are struggling. They're trying to reach out for something, but they can't get their footing because the world, it just seems to be crumbling around. But Lord, I pray that they would turn to you. I pray that you would supernaturally use friends of theirs, use family. I pray that you would soften even the hardest heart in this season, Lord God, that we've been praying for a long time, that they would realize that they just need to reach out to you. So Lord, I pray that the choice would be made for you today. We pray that over our friends and family. We pray that over our friends at work and our acquaintances. We pray that, certainly pray it over our congregation and for the whole world even, Lord. We pray, Lord, at this time that people, more and more people would reach out. And Lord, as they reach out, they're going to need people to tell them about you. Equip us, Lord God. Give us words. We may say, Lord, we don't even know how to speak, you know, like Moses did. But fill our hearts and our minds and our mouths with your words. Let it be so supernatural that we just say, this couldn't be me. It's got to be from you, Lord. I pray that you would use each and every one of us to be used as vessels for people to come to know you. So, Lord, break down even the toughest heart. Draw people to you. I pray that if there's anyone that doesn't know you, that is tuning into the live stream, watching even here today, that is tired of not having peace in their life, that they could just reach out to you right now and accept your gift of salvation, Yeshua. Accept that you died for them so that they could live with you, holy as you are holy. So Lord, I pray that you would reveal yourself to people today. I pray that you would open up doors where the doors have been just sealed shut. Just break down the doors today and give people your love. We thank you, God, and we praise you. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen and amen.